think we've got it going. Excuse me for the interruption. Don't know why the clicker's not working. But David was an obedient, faithful servant to his father and for God. Not everything that we do as a Christian is the glitzy, glamorous, full of in the spotlight like David's brothers were. David's brothers were off in the army. They were soldiers. That's a lot more glamorous than being a shepherd. Staying at home, you're the little brother. You get stuck with tending the sheep, doing the things that they probably did had they been at home. But David did it. He obeyed his father. In fact, what got him to the point of fighting Goliath was being obedient to his father. Running an errand. I need you to run an errand. Take these gifts, take this food to your brothers, see how they're doing, and report back to me. And so the fact, I get an awful lot from David in this respect, that he was obedient and he was responsible. He could be counted on. When Jesse, his father, sent David to check on his brothers, he had full confidence in him. I don't care if we're cleaning the bathrooms. I don't care if we're delivering a message, if we're song leading, or just showing up. Can we as a Christian be counted on? Are we responsible? Are we, we show up and we just assume there's going to be communion for us. We assume that somebody's paid the light bill. That when we flick the light on, that it's going to turn on. David was responsible, and it was with the mundane. Not the glorious, not the glitzy, not the glamorous. And I apply that to our life as a Christian. Kurt, would you go to the next slide? When he gets to his brothers, they were drawn up for battle. And he was there when Goliath, for over a month, would show up and give the challenge to the other army. Send one guy out. Fight with me. And if I beat him, you guys will be our servants. And if you beat me, we'll be your servants. Winner take all. Send your best guy out. We'll do battle. And he was cursing God. He was taunting the armies of Israel. And David was there when that occurred. And David was offended when God was being disrespected. It bothered him, and he let people know about it. David's looking around. Goliath is taunting our God. Goliath is taunting us, challenging us. And David, the young man, is probably, which one of you guys are going to go out there and take care of business? Which one of you are going to answer that challenge? Maybe one of my brothers will. Waiting. Who's going to go? And David, he asks the question, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he taunt the armies of the living God? Who does he think he is? Where, nobody's going to go out and answer that call? Kurt, next slide. He was awed that people were disrespecting his God. He displayed bravery to go fight Goliath. He was the underdog. Who would have ever thought this young man who was a shepherd wasn't trained for war? And that was our message 2 weeks ago, how he goes out and he says, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. I'll go. Nobody fret. I'll go out there and take care of business. He wasn't a trained soldier, but he wasn't going to let this slide. I'll go do it, and God will be with me. Kurt, he was humble. After he had killed Goliath, not only did he kill, he went out there in battle. Here Goliath is with all of his armor, with a shield bearer in front of him, a spear that was huge. I think we figured out that the weight of his armor was about 150, 160 pounds. That's a big guy. You know, you put me and Brother Frederick over here next to each other, we're kind of lopsided in size. I'm outnumbered. Brother Frederick would have been dwarfed compared to Goliath. He was about 9 foot tall. He was a man that has been a warrior all of his life. And here's this little shepherd boy showing up, running an errand, and he goes out there to fight Goliath. Not only did he whack him with a stone right in the forehead, but then went and cut his head off with his own sword. That's adding insult to injury there. But he said, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. He never took credit himself. He was humble. Coming back after that victory, I'll tell you, it is tempting when you accomplish something to want to get the thumbs up under your suspenders and give it the old, yep, 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 you know, Barney Fife. You know, Ange, I did this. That's easy to fall into. David gave the credit to God. He gave the credit to God before he even went out there. The Lord will deliver you into our hands. That's something for us to remember today. When we have successes, accomplishments as Christians. We're studying that today in the auditorium Bible class, Jesus' parables. And we were looking at the parable of the sower. How one thing we need to remember, as a sower, God gets the credit. We may plant, other people may water, nurture, but it's God that gives the increase. It's God. It's not us. It wasn't David that whipped Goliath. It was God. And we can apply that to our lives. Kurt, my beautiful assistant back there. David displayed that not only was he a brave warrior one-on-one, but when he later started commanding the Israelites, leading the Israelites into battle, he displayed himself as a brilliant commander. And Saul, it kind of bothered him. Saul had been leading the armies. And here the people, it says, so the women in 1 Samuel 18:7, so the women sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. David was a brilliant commander in battle, but he gave the credit to God. This, the fact that so many people honored David, is going to kind of come back and work against him. Kurt? Saul is going to take it personal, and he's jealous. And the attention is being given David. And Saul is actually going to try to kill David. The attention is being given David. Attention away from me. I'm the king. People used to look at me. Now they're honoring David. David never hated Saul. Never. He loved and respected him because he was God's anointed. He gave him respect because God had anointed him as king. And in 1 Samuel 18, it says, but there was a spear in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped his presence twice. Tried to kill him twice and goes after him. Kurt? Had to flee for his life. David wound up having to run for his life. He and his followers had to live in caves in the wilderness because the guy on his side is after him to kill him. Not the enemy, not Goliath's people. Not Goliath's people. Not, he's having to worry about the Philistines. He's having to worry about his own king. Having to worry about his own king and had to hide. And in 1 Samuel 19, this week, take a few minutes. It won't take you long. Read chapter 19 about how David had to literally live in caves and in the wilderness to escape being captured by Saul, his own king, for what he's done for the kingdom. Isn't that kind of strange? Mm-hmm. That he's being persecuted for doing what's good for the kingdom, and the people in charge didn't like it. So, Kurt? He sought the will of God over his own life. God's will was David's will. We see that in the garden the night that Jesus was betrayed. How Jesus was praying before he would be arrested and I call it a trial, but a mock trial. And he says, if there's a way for this cup to pass from me, let it be. But not my will, yours be done, God. That we see that attitude in David. David wanted God's will, not his. David had the opportunity twice to have killed Saul. He could have ended it. He could have ended that persecution. He could have gone on, been the hero, led Israel to victory. But no, he's God's anointed, and I won't do it. He had the opportunity twice. And in 1 Samuel 24:4 says, and David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe while he was sleeping. Just to let him know, I could have slit your throat. I could have ended it tonight. But no, I won't do it. And then two chapters later, in chapter 26, verse 12, so David took the spear and the jug of water by Saul's head, and they got away. While he was sleeping, went and took his own spear, took his bottle of water. Could have very easily run him through with that spear. We're going to continue with this next week. You've got the outline. If you would, read some of those verses ahead of time. be familiar with David's life. And as you read those, ask yourself the question, how does this apply to my life as a Christian today? This right here, seeking God's will over mine. How often are we confronted with something that is different than what we would like, but we go with God's will? We can apply this to our life right now. The things of David. If you need to respond to the invitation, we never like to close an assembly without offering an invitation to people to respond with baptism, to respond with prayer, to respond by repentance. If you've got sin in your life, you can't keep going against God's will and get to where you want to go. You're going the wrong direction. You can't keep going down that path and get where you want to go if you're wanting to go to heaven. If you need to repent, I urge you to do so today. If you need prayers, we will pray to God with you. If you need to be baptized, put your Lord on in baptism for forgiveness of sins to be added to the kingdom by the Lord. Do that. You're not joining a church. You're not jumping over a hoop or anything to get a decoder ring. You're being added to the church, the Lord's body. If you've been looking for a church home, if you've been looking at some congregations around town and would like to worship with us here, we would love to have you. We will put you to work. We will study with you. We would like to learn with you, from you. Whatever your need, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward.